I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. On the morning of September 21st, 2015, a young woman walked into a roadside cafe in Northern California and never walked back out. Asha Kramer was 26 years old. She was far from home, struggling, and in visible distress in the days before she vanished. Hours earlier, she'd been released from a hospital. Now, inside a quiet diner near the cliffs of Mendocino County, she stood up from the table, said she was going to the bathroom, and disappeared. She had no phone, no money, and no identification. Her jacket would later be found near the edge of the coastline. Asha herself was never seen again. How does someone vanish from a cafe in broad daylight without a trace? To understand the mystery of Asha's disappearance, it helps to understand the land itself, the wild, remote, compelling place where her story unfolded. Mendocino County is not a typical California coastline. It's a place where ancient forests meet windswept seas, where small towns cling to highways that wind like ribbons down cliff faces, and where beauty and danger coexist with a strange, soulful magnetism. Nestled on this rugged stretch of the Northern California coast is Point Arena, a town that feels as if it has grown out of the very rock and brine that shaped it. Originally inhabited by the Bocoya Pomo people, who lived off the bounty of the ocean, rivers, and forests long before European arrival, Point Arena's history is one of resilience and adaptation. The Spanish once named it Cabo de Fortuna, the Cape of Fortune, not for wealth, but for the treacherous seas that greeted early explorers. In the 19th century, Point Arena became a bustling port town, shipping lumber and agricultural goods up and down the coast. Its dangerous waters, both life-giving and lethal to sailors, led to the construction of the iconic Point Arena Lighthouse, a beacon that still stands today, its light reaching far into the Pacific. But Point Arena isn't just history. For visitors, it's a gateway to some of Northern California's most dramatic natural beauty. The bluffs and cliffs rising more than 100 feet above the surf are carved into shapes that defy easy description. There are hidden beaches, bizarre washboard rock formations, and estuaries where wildlife thrives against all odds. Along the coastline and just south, Schooner Gulch State Beach draws hikers and dreamers alike to its expansive shoreline and tide pools, where the roar of the ocean feels like the heartbeat of the land. Inland, ancient redwood forests rise like cathedrals, creating winding roads and quiet paths that lead deeper into the soul of Mendocino County. Tourists come for the raw beauty, to watch whales breach in winter, to climb the lighthouse tower and feel the wind shake the salt from their hair, to wander trails that hug the shoreline and disappear into fern-lined groves. They come for the quiet galleries and local art, roadside stands of handmade crafts, and the old-fashioned theaters and cafes that give Main Street its timeless charm. And then, there is a deeper, less visible economy winding through these hills, the legacy of cannabis cultivation that helped define the region for decades. Mendocino sits at the heart of the Emerald Triangle, a trio of counties once known internationally for some of the country's most renowned and secretive marijuana groves. Long before legalization turned cannabis into a mainstream commercial crop, this land was dotted with small farms and hidden plots tended by families and independent growers, a culture that became part of the fabric of the county itself. Some locals still talk about old weed money, from brighter days when dollars flowed freely into cafes and shops, festivals and galleries. But that too has shifted. Since California legalized marijuana cultivation and sale in 2016, small growers have struggled to compete with larger industrial corporations, and the economic ripples are still being felt. Some farms have shut down, others have diversified. And the once booming cannabis culture has become a quieter thread in the county's tapestry. Life here, and especially in places like Point Arena, can feel like a paradox. It's breathtakingly beautiful and achingly isolated. You can see the horizon stretch without interruption, and at the same time feel entirely cut off from the pulse of the cities to the south. Locals describe Point Arena not just as a destination, but as a way of life, a community that values self-reliance, rugged independence, and deep ties to the land. Small shops, a historic theater, a co-op market, and a handful of cafes are at the heart of town. But the nearest full supermarket might be an hour away, and the road along Highway 1 feels like a thread connecting this quiet outpost to the rest of the world. This is the place where Asha walked into that cafe that morning in 2015. Where the ocean murmured against rocky shores, and the wind carried hints of salt and fog into every corner of the landscape. It's a place that draws visitors seeking escape, clarity, or solitude. But it also draws those who slip between the cracks, those who might be overwhelmed by the sheer immensity of the horizon and the solitude of the forest. And for some, Mendocino County is a paradise. For others, it's a crucible. And for Asha, it was the backdrop of her final known footsteps, a place of beauty, mystery, heartbreak, and unanswered questions.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Asha Kramer was born on May 2nd, 1989, in the tropical quiet of Hilo, Hawaii. The first chapter of a life that would be shaped by movement, love, and unspoken depths. At just 2 years old, she left the shores of Hawaii for a new world, settling in Australia with her mother Jeannie and her older sister Jancy. Jeannie, a dedicated nurse, spent much of her career serving in remote Aboriginal communities, answering calls for care wherever the need was greatest. A life of service that would leave an indelible mark on Asha's own sense of compassion and insight. Growing up, Asha moved frequently as her mother's work carried them across the vast interior of Australia. These early years forged in her a quiet strength, a sensitivity to the rhythms of life that many would later describe as old soul wisdom. When she was 14, Asha began attending boarding school in Brisbane, a choice born of educational opportunity, but one that soon brought her family closer still. Her mother missed her so deeply that she chose to move to Brisbane as well, taking up residence near the school so that she could be near her daughter every day. Asha was not the stereotypical thrill seeker. She was more of a homebody than a wanderer at heart, someone who treasured the warmth of close relationships and the simple comfort of familiar spaces. She loved animals with a tenderness that spoke to her gentle spirit. Dogs, cats, birds, any creature in need of care seemed to find a friend in her. Those who knew her describe her as reserved, deeply private, and fiercely loyal. Someone who held her heart close but gave it fully to those she loved, especially her mother and sister. Talented and introspective, Asha's was artistic, insightful, and thoughtful, and possessed a beauty that went beyond the physical, a soulful presence that lingered in the minds of her friends long after conversations ended. In high school, her peers remembered her as well-liked and deeply connected, a participant in track and field and soccer, someone who moved through life with quiet confidence and an intuitive sense for what was cool before others ever knew it. She even flirted with journalism, driven by curiosity about the world and a desire to understand the stories of others. After graduation, Asha and her sister worked at the Arts Factory, where they both studied remedial massage, a testament to their shared creativity and their desire to help heal others. But the world still called to Asha, and in June 2011, in a spontaneous leap of faith, she and her sister boarded a plane to San Francisco, ready for a new life in America. In San Francisco, Asha found work at Burke Williams Day Spa, her quiet charm and warm professionalism making her a natural with clients and coworkers alike. Just weeks after arriving, she met Jamay, the man who would become her boyfriend, at a birthday party they were invited to, only to realize it was Jamay they were there to celebrate. The two shared an immediate connection, discovering in each other echoes of their own lives. Both had mothers who were nurses, both were biracial, and both carried stories of family and belonging. They moved in together in the Mission District. But as San Francisco's costs rose, they eventually sought a quieter life further north. In Albion, California, among the forests and the fields, Asha found temporary peace, a small house on 6 acres shaded by towering trees, and found work at the inn at Schoolhouse Creek and Digging Dog Nursery. Jobs that suited her gentle nature and love of living things. For 5.5 years, they built a life together, filled with plans for the future, marriage, children, a shared home filled with pets and laughter. They had dogs and cats and chickens, and Asha spoke often about dreams for what was next. But beneath the surface of that idyllic life, something in her quietly began to fracture. After a visit to see her sister in Los Angeles in early September of 2015, friends and family noticed shifts in her spirit, a withdrawal, restlessness, a deepening sadness that wouldn't lift. Jemay later described how she began to seek change, wanting a driver's license, deeper connections, a fresh start, but also how her inner world seemed to darken in ways he couldn't reach. She spoke of self-doubt, of not knowing how to love herself, and her struggles only intensified in the days before her disappearance. Around this same time, Asha's childhood friend Sally was coming to California for a visit. While Jemay had never met Sally, Asha talked about her a lot and even referred to her as her sister. So he thought it would be good for her to reconnect and have some fun in hopes it would lighten her mood. And that brings us to the final haunting days of Asha's known whereabouts. Days filled with hope and confusion, desire and despair, and ultimately to a morning in Point Arena, California, when everything changed forever.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In mid-September of 2015, the air along California's rugged Mendocino coast carried the smell of ocean salt and wood smoke. But inside the small home in Albion, something was unsettled. On September 16th, Asha's friend Sally arrived from Australia. The two had grown up together, friends since long before Asha ever dreamed of California, long before the forested hills and windswept shoreline became her backdrop. Sally had been in Washington, D.C., working with Aboriginal artifacts when she decided to visit and celebrate her birthday with Asha. But something fell off from the start. In the soft light of those early days together, days that should have been warm with laughter and memory, heavy conversations took hold, and the easy rhythm of childhood friendship faltered into something painful and awkward. Jemay later described how Asha seemed depressed, how the interactions with Sally were strange and tense. Instead of companionship, there were silences. When they weren't talking, Sally often retreated to her room, leaving Asha alone with her thoughts. They spoke about things that cut deep, about their fathers, both of whom had passed away, about loss and grief. At one point, Sally would later describe Asha sitting rigid and still, her eyes distant, almost like she was suspended inside her own mind. In Jemai's telling of one of those conversations, old photographs became a trigger. A picture of an old white house prompted Asha to blurt out that she had been molested there and had forced herself to forget. Whether from memory or a mental break, the moment seemed to unravel something in her. After that day, everything began to slip. Asha stopped sleeping. She stopped eating. Her once gentle presence became unsettling. Nights filled with incoherent shouting, disjointed outbursts about not having gotten over her father's death. Friends and neighbors watched this change with rising concern. There was no history of mental illness, though there was mental illness in her family, a shadow that may have shaped what was happening now in the deepest corners of her mind. By September 20th, Asha had gone days without rest or nourishment. Her behavior worried both Jemai and Sally so deeply that they made the decision to take her to the Mendocino Coast District Hospital in Fort Bragg. Inside the emergency room, Asha's distress manifested physically. Resistance, panic, pulling away from medical staff as they tried to take her vitals. The situation escalated until police officers were called in to help restrain her. A terrifying experience for someone already in crisis. Even so, after evaluation, the clinicians determined she was not in immediate danger to herself or others, and she was released back into Jemai and Sally's care. That night offered no reprieve. Asha remained unpredictable and frightened, pacing outside, attempting to flee toward the woods, desperate to escape her own home. She spoke repeatedly, almost obsessively, about neighbors she believed had committed violent acts. Her mind was racing through fears and narratives that didn't align with reality. In the morning light, she would run away from home, only to be found later walking calmly down the road and brought back by Jemai and Sally. So they decided one more attempt to soothe her. A drive down the coast to the sea, to a place with fresh air and the promise of calm. They headed south along Highway 1, the cliffs and waves on one side, the endless horizon stretching out before them. They stopped at the Rollerville Cafe, nestled near the Point Arena lighthouses. It was around 9:30 a.m., a moment that would later be frozen in time. Inside the cafe, Asha was quiet and distant, barely touching her breakfast. The world around her, the familiar clatter of dishes, the murmur of other patrons, seemed distant, like a dream half-remembered. Then Sally asked where the restroom was. Asha said she would go to and got up right behind Sally. She walked out the door, past the little gift shop, toward a small path behind the cafe. Sally went inside the restroom, but Asha never did. When Sally came out, she and Jemai realized Asha had vanished in the blink of an eye. And just like that, she was never seen again.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When Asha Kramer vanished from the Rollerville Cafe that morning, the first moments passed in confusion. Not panic yet, just the uneasy sense that something wasn't right. A cafe worker would later tell investigators that Asha appeared visibly upset. She stood out. She wasn't wearing shoes, or at least not proper ones. Some witnesses remembered her barefoot. Others recalled black flip-flops. The details blur in hindsight, but the impression remains the same. Asha looked unprepared to go anywhere. She carried no identification, no wallet, no money, no credit cards. And possibly no phone. Some witnesses reported seeing Asha in the parking area shortly after 9:30 a.m., appearing agitated, possibly speaking on a cell phone. But those sightings have always been disputed. According to Asha's mother, when she arrived in California 2 days later, Jemai handed her Asha's phone almost immediately. saying he had found it discarded in bushes near the cafe. And whether that account is accurate or not, the implication is chilling. Asha did not leave the cafe with her phone. So when Sally returned from the restroom and realized Asha wasn't there, she and Jame searched the immediate area. They walked around the cafe, the nearby buildings, the paths leading toward the lighthouse. But before any official search was launched, time slipped away. Jame later said Sally was exhausted and wanted to return home, and because they were close to the highway, they thought there was a chance Asha hitchhiked home. So the two of them left the cafe, driving the 45 minutes back to Albion, without alerting the authorities. Once home, Jame dropped Sally off, loaded both dogs into his car, and drove back toward Point Arena alone. Somewhere along that drive, he called the police to report Asha missing. By the time he returned to the cafe, a sheriff's deputy was already there. Now, what's striking and troubling is what didn't happen next. Around 2 p.m., Sally returned to the cafe to buy a coffee. She didn't tell the staff her friend was missing. No alarm was raised. No flyers were posted. No urgent canvassing took place. Around 5:30 p.m., Jame came back to the cafe again, asking employees if anyone had seen Asha. He would return over the next several days, repeatedly asking the same questions, long after the crucial early hours had passed. As everyone knows, the first 48 hours are the most important in any missing persons case. Mysteriously, that first night without Asha, something else vanished too. Jame later said that when he let the dogs out, Asha's German Shepherd ran off. He went to neighbors asking if anyone had seen it. One neighbor said they thought they'd spotted the dog in another nearby yard. Jame told police, but according to him, their response was dismissive. They noted only that his girlfriend and her dog had both gone missing in the same day. No official search for the dog was conducted. When Jeannie Kramer learned her daughter was missing, she boarded the first flight she could from Australia to the United States. Jame's mother picked her up at the airport and drove her straight to the property in Albion. When Jeannie arrived, she found a house full of people, friends, acquaintances, who spoke about her missing daughter in ways that unsettled her deeply. She was told Asha was just acting out. Now to Jeannie, this felt like a dismissal, not just of Asha's disappearance, but of her mental health crisis. Asha had been hospitalized just hours before she vanished. Minimizing that felt dangerous. Jeannie also said that Jame made comments that felt accusatory or negative, as if shaping a narrative about why Asha was gone. A narrative that seemed designed to explain her absence away rather than confront it. When Jeannie went to police, she quickly learned how vulnerable missing adults can be in the system. The initial response was slow, because Asha was an adult, and she might have left voluntarily. Urgency was lacking. When Jeannie went to the station with Sally, officers spoke primarily to Sally, not to Asha's mother. And then jurisdiction further complicated everything. Asha lived in Albion, but vanished near Point Arena. The case fell to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department, an agency responsible for vast rural terrain, and an area where disappearances are tragically common. There was no dedicated missing persons unit. Jeannie contacted the Australian Embassy, Interpol. She reported Asha missing in Australia as well as the U.S., but progress was slow. At one point, a sheriff bluntly told her they believed Asha was probably dead. Jeannie felt dismissed, as though the system wanted her to stop asking questions, go home, and let the case fade. But she refused. Knowing she was largely on her own, Jeannie connected with the Point Arena Care Center, who helped organize a land search. It was during this effort that something both hopeful and haunting emerged. A woman who ran the gift shop near the Point Arena Lighthouse came forward. She said that shortly after opening, around 10:30 a.m., roughly an hour after the trio went to the cafe, Asha came inside. She appeared nervous, anxious, and unwell. Later, another woman contacted Jeannie to say she believed she'd seen Asha in a supermarket roughly 30 miles south around 3:30 p.m. That distance would have required hitchhiking or hours of walking along Highway 1. No one has ever come forward to say they gave her a ride. Now, Google Maps estimates the walk at over 6 hours. Difficult, but not impossible. During the search, one undeniable piece of evidence surfaced. Asha's jacket. It was found near the coastline, proof that she had been walking close to the ocean. But still, no Asha. The mystery of her dog remains unsolved. Some accounts say the dog was in the car at the cafe. Others say it ran away later. And Jeannie said she has heard multiple conflicting versions. What she knows is this. Asha would not willingly leave without her dog. And yet, there's no clear explanation for how both vanished. Years have since passed with no new clues. The case is completely cold. But Jeannie has not stopped searching. She travels back and forth between Australia and Northern California, raising just enough money to return each time and keep going. She walks into homeless encampments. She visits police stations. She talks to people on the streets. She hands out cards she made herself, cards with Asha's photo and information, asking strangers to keep their eyes open. It's exhausting, it's heartbreaking, and she does it alone. Because for Jeannie, the story does not end at a cafe bathroom door. Somewhere in the forest, along the coast, or in the lives of people who saw something and didn't realize it mattered, the truth about what happened to Asha Kramer still exists. And her mother will keep looking until it's found. But this is where the facts thin out. After the sightings fade, after the searches end, what remains is silence and questions. No confirmed timeline, no clear direction, no explanation that accounts for everything we know or everything we don't. So we're going to walk carefully through the theories. The possibilities people have offered to explain what happened to Asha Kramer. Some are grounded in evidence. Some are shaped by fear, by grief, by what people want to believe. But all of them exist because one truth remains. Asha never came home.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
For Jeannie Kramer, the idea that Asha is gone forever is something she simply cannot accept. Not because it's easier to believe otherwise, but because to her, the pieces don't fit. Jeannie has said publicly that she believes it's possible her daughter is still alive. Not hiding, not starting over, but surviving, confused, vulnerable, and unable to find her way back. One of the theories she returns to again and again is that Asha may be suffering from amnesia, brought on by extreme psychological distress, trauma, exhaustion, or even injury in the days surrounding her disappearance. When Asha vanished, she had no phone, no wallet, no identification, no passport, no way to legally cross borders or establish a new life. Jeannie believes that if Asha were alive and well, if she had chosen to leave, she would have surfaced by now. She would have reached out. She would have found a way to let her family know she was safe. But if Asha was disoriented, if she didn't know who she was or where she came from, that's a different story. Jeannie has speculated that Asha could have encountered people living in the fringes of society. Reclusive marijuana growers, common in Northern California's remote coastal and forested regions, particularly in 2015, where illegal grows were widespread and deeply hidden. These are communities that often avoid law enforcement, avoid outsiders, and live far from records or oversight. A place where someone without identification could disappear. Maybe not intentionally, but completely. To Jeannie, this theory explains things that others cannot. Why Asha was seen moving south after leaving the cafe. Why she may have been walking along the coast. Why she was seen hours later, but never seen again. And why, after all these years, there's been no digital trace of her existence. Jeannie has also said there are inconsistencies in the stories told in the hours and days after Asha disappeared. Details that shift, timelines that don't quite align, and explanations that feel incomplete. These inconsistencies are haunting, not because they point clearly to an answer, but because they leave room for doubt, the kind of doubt that keeps a mother searching. And that doubt extends to Jemai. Jeannie has never outright accused him of harming her daughter, but she has said she remains suspicious, as anyone would. Troubled by what she perceives as conflicting accounts. By the way, Asha's mental health was described before she went missing, and by how quickly some people seemed to frame her disappearance as something she chose. Jemai, for his part, was dragged through the media in the years following Asha's disappearance. As the boyfriend and last known person to be with her, scrutiny was inevitable. The boyfriend always did it. Rumors flourished, online speculation became relentless. Yet there has never been evidence tying him to a crime. And in cases like this, especially ones involving mental health crisis, suspicion alone is not proof. Because two things can be true at once. There may be unanswered questions about what happened in Asha's final days. And Jemai may still be a man who lost the woman he loved and has never recovered from it. For Jeannie, believing Asha could still be alive isn't denial, it's hope. And until there's absolute proof otherwise, it's hope she refuses to let go of. But there are several distinct theories that have taken shape over time. Some come from police investigators, others from those closest to her, and still others from the quiet corners of speculation where mystery breeds possibility. None offers closure. But each reveals something about how people search for meaning in the face of the unknown. From the earliest days of the investigation, the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office approached Asha's disappearance not as a murder mystery, but as a missing person in crisis. They classified her case as an endangered missing person, focusing initial efforts on ground and aerial searches around the rugged coastline and dense woodland trails near Point Arena. Asha's jacket was found discarded along a roadside pathway leading toward the Point Arena lighthouse. But nothing else. No body, no signs of foul play, no bridge of evidence connecting her to another person or place. Investigators considered that Asha may have simply walked off in a disoriented state, influenced by her acute mental distress. When someone has been awake for days, emotionally overwhelmed, psychotic, or suffering a breakdown, the impulse to wander, to leave the familiar and move toward anything, can overpower logic. In rugged terrain like Mendocino's forests and cliffs, an unprotected person, without food, shoes, or phone, could easily succumb to hypothermia, dehydration, or an accidental fall into the ocean or a ravine. The sheriff's department publicly emphasized that there was no evidence of foul play, no identified suspect, no recorded motive, and no credible indication that someone else was involved. they clarified that Jamay was not considered a person of interest and was cleared of suspicion by authorities. A law enforcement spokesperson once offered several broad scenarios that might explain her disappearance, each grounded in practical possibilities rather than dramatic crime. Asha may have walked off into the ocean, the waves carrying her beyond the reach of search teams. She may have been approached by someone and non-voluntarily left the area with them. Or she may have simply wandered away, lost in the wilderness, without leaving signs to retrace her path. None of these scenarios is comforting, but they are sobering in their simplicity. Law enforcement has reiterated that without new evidence, the investigation remains open but cold, hinging on the hope that someone with information will come forward. One of the most painful theories to consider is suicide. Not because there's proof, but because of where Asha was emotionally and mentally in the days before she disappeared. In the week leading up to September 21st, Asha was in acute psychological distress. She hadn't slept for days, she wasn't eating, her thoughts were disorganized, her behavior was erratic, and those closest to her were frightened by how quickly she seemed to be unraveling. She had just been released from a hospital after a psychiatric evaluation, and within hours, she was gone. In cases like this, law enforcement often considers the possibility that someone in crisis may wander into danger, intentionally or unintentionally. The Mendocino coastline is unforgiving. Cliffs drop sharply into the ocean, dense forests swallow sound and sight. A person without shoes, food, or clarity of mind could easily succumb to the environment. But here's the difficult truth. There's no evidence that Asha intended to end her life. No note, no confirmed witness, and no body. Suicide remains a theory not because it's proven, but because it fits the context of her suffering. Another lens through which people have tried to make sense of Asha's disappearance is the possibility of foul play. The idea that someone else was involved, whether by choice or misfortune. It's a theory born not of concrete proof, but of the gaps in the story, the unsettling contradictions, and the eerie connections that refuse to go away. From the outset, law enforcement has been clear. There's no evidence that Asha was abducted, attacked, or harmed by another person, and there are no suspects tied to her case. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office has repeatedly said that foul play has not been supported by any forensic or eyewitness evidence, but mystery rarely follows one script. One of the strangest threads in the fabric of this case involves two people who lived near Asha. Her neighbors, Laurel Eddie Pratt Ryan, and his longtime girlfriend, Joy Mae Taylor. In the chaotic days before Asha vanished, she uttered words that were disturbing and cryptic. Eddie killed Joy. And whether this was a delusion or an attempt to articulate inner fear, the phrase lingered in the background of the investigation. At the time, Eddie and Joy were both very much alive. But 3 years after Asha's disappearance, in September 2018, Eddie himself went missing. According to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, the 52-year-old was last seen walking toward the Albion store near Fort Bragg and was never seen again. There is, admittedly, no known connection between Eddie's disappearance and Asha's. There's no evidence that the two events are related. And in a region like Northern California's rugged coastline, where transient populations, secluded properties, and illegal marijuana grows are common, disappearances, while tragic, are not unheard of. And yet, when two disappearances occupy the same small community, when a name spoken in confusion becomes a haunting echo in the record, it becomes almost impossible for the human mind not to ask, is there something here we don't understand yet? Some online sleuths and armchair investigators have seized on the Eddie connection, weaving theories that range from conspiracy to outright danger lurking in the forests and farms of Mendocino County. Other locals, more familiar with the area's rhythms, caution that disappearances can stem from the region's isolation its transient workers, its hidden roads and trails, and that overlapping mysteries do not necessarily mean a shared origin. In the absence of evidence, foul play remains a category of what might have happened, rather than what did happen. It stands alongside other theories, not because it's proven, but because the truth is still out there, buried somewhere between the facts and the unknown. And for a mother who refuses to stop looking, that unknown is not where the story ends. It's where the search begins.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As we talk about Asha, it's impossible not to confront the reality that she wasn't just missing. She was in the midst of a mental health crisis in her final hours. And when someone is struggling like that, the world doesn't just feel confusing. It can feel dangerous and isolating. Mental health crisis can look different from person to person, but there are some patterns that professionals and loved ones recognize. Dramatic changes in sleeping or eating habits, sudden shifts in mood, disconnection from usual routines, and behavior that seems unpredictable or out of character can all be signs that someone is overwhelmed and in distress. When these symptoms occur alongside exhaustion, disorientation, or fear, the risk of harm, intentional or accidental, increases. In Asha's case, the days leading up to her disappearance were marked by sleeplessness, emotional volatility, and conversations that grew more intense and fractured. In that state, the world feels less safe, less anchored, and someone might act in ways that seem inexplicable to an observer. And that's because a mental health crisis isn't a single moment. It's a cascade where thoughts, emotions, and perception all begin to lose their usual bearings. So what can we do when someone we care about appears to be unraveling? First, and most importantly, we take it seriously. A person who is struggling isn't just acting out or going through a phase. They are signaling suffering that deserves attention, compassion, and support. If you notice warning signs, profound mood changes, talk of not wanting to live, withdrawal from normal life, disorientation, the first priority is safety. If there is imminent danger, you can call emergency services. If there is concern without immediate danger, you can still connect them with trained support, not just your own instincts. In the United States, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline offers free, confidential support around the clock. You can call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org. to reach a trained crisis counselor who can help both the person in distress and the people around them. Being there with someone in crisis doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. Often the most powerful thing you can do is listen without judgment. Create space for their fear, confusion, and pain without dismissing it. Speak calmly, Ask open questions like, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Asking the question directly can open the door to honest communication and help them connect with the care they need. You can also help them connect with professionals, whether that means encouraging them to reach out to a therapist, arranging transport to a mental health facility, or simply sitting with them while you call a crisis hotline together. Research shows that ongoing support after a crisis, regular check-ins, help with appointments, creating a recovery plan, can make a profound difference in someone's safety and long-term well-being. But helping someone through a mental health crisis is not something you do alone. You, as a supporter, also need support. It's okay to seek guidance from professionals, family members, clergy, or crisis workers. Taking care of yourself, resting, setting boundaries, and acknowledging your limitations is not abandonment. It is sustaining the strength to care for others. Asha's story is a reminder that mental health crises can appear suddenly, even in people we think we know well. They can be silent, hidden beneath smiles or long texts, and they can escalate in ways no one expected. But they are not hopeless, and they are not something someone has to go through alone. Mental health doesn't have to be a mystery. It doesn't have to end in questions and silence. It can end with listening ears, open hearts, and the knowledge that no one is meant to struggle alone. As we draw this episode to a close, it's worth taking a moment to truly see Asha, not as a mystery, not as a case file number, but as a real person who walked into that cafe on September 21st, 2015, and was never seen again. At the time she disappeared, Asha was wearing black skinny jeans and a gray-black fitted top, the kind of clothes that suggest comfort and familiarity, not preparation for a long walk, not planned departure. She had mid-length, golden brown curly hair, warm brown eyes, and a small red triangle tattoo on her right wrist. A mark of individuality, something that would stand out if someone saw her today. She was tall, about 5'10", approximately 135 pounds. She had a soft Australian accent, a gap between her two front teeth, and by all accounts, a gentle soul who could be difficult to approach when she was scared or overwhelmed. But here's the thing about missing person cases like Asha's. What we remember matters, and what we share matters even more. If you were in the Point Arena area on September 21st, 2015, if you saw someone matching Asha's description, if you heard something that didn't make sense at the time but now feels important, if you've come across someone who seems lost, confused, or out of place, your voice matters. Please, if you have any information, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, contact the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department. Asha's case remains open, and every new tip has the potential to spark movement. This mystery has lingered far too long. You can also reach out directly at jeannie.kramer@gmail.com. That's jeannie.kramer@gmail.com. This isn't just a story, it's a life. A friend, a daughter, a person with dreams, with history, and with people who still love her. And until there's closure, the possibility of finding Asha remains alive, with you, with the listeners of this episode, and with anyone willing to look again, think again, and speak up. So share Asha's story. You never know who might hold the piece of the puzzle that finally brings Asha back into the light. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.